This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TDK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
If you brought a Bible, open it up to two passages. One's right in the middle of your Bible in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And then we're going to look quickly in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I have something that I've been really looking forward to and excited to share with you, because I've been on this journey, walking down the pathway I'm about to unfold to you for about 12 or 13 years now, getting better at it every single year. And I'm going to show you something that's deeply spiritual. It is super simple. I mean, like, anybody can do this. But it's profoundly impacting in your life, not just for this holiday season here, but for all year long. And here's the great part. You get to initiate it anytime you want, as often as you want. But it's completely within your control, and it's all right here in the Word of God. Super practical, okay? But let me set you up a little bit for it before we look at Psalm 100. I went through a number of years in my life. I think this started really when I was a kid, but it especially became kind of a focal point in me when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And then when I got married, it jumped up to a whole nother level, because I had all this expectation that once I got married, that everything was going to be perfect in life, because marriage, you know, was the missing component. And so once I got there, it would be great. So I, for the first probably 10, 20 years maybe of our marriage, I unintentionally but quite literally tormented my wife every holiday season. Now, I didn't do it on purpose, and I was trying to rein it in, but here was my issue. We would march through the holidays, the last three I'm talking about, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then New Year, and I would get my hopes up high that somehow during the holiday, whatever it was that made this a holy day, made this such a wonderful, you know, time of refreshing and connection, I would get to the end of the holiday and I would just be like, oh, wasn't that wonderful? And I would feel so overwhelmed and fulfilled and just replenished. And that was never my experience. Now, don't get me wrong, I have a great family. The Lord's really, really blessed us. And so, we had wonderful time. The atmosphere was, for the most part, filled with fun and joy and a lot of laughter. I mean, there's always those moments of frustration when you're trying to get, you know, family dinner and stuff going. But for the most part, it was really great. The food was phenomenal. Everybody I'm related to knows how to cook really, really well. And so there's always an overindulgence there. And so it wasn't anything that, you know, that if you put a box and you described in some article, this would be the perfect holiday. None of that was missing. It was all there. But I would still get to the end of each of those holidays, and this is just how I'm describing it with me. It's like a deep, deep part of me was calling out to a deeper part of whatever that was supposed to be all about. And I would realize something's missing. And I, for a long time, I tried to pull Debbie into it with me and kind of blamed her for some of it, although it was never her fault, and tried to, you know, just reorganize and restructure, and if we can just get this right, then it'll be what it was supposed to be. And it was never that. And it was about maybe 12, 13, maybe a year or two more ago that I was in some study time, and all of a sudden, it's like my eyes just clicked open, literally like someone pulled back a curtain. And I got to see something that I'd never seen before. And it was like this pathway of spiritual renewal, a pathway of spiritual replenishing, a spiritual refocusing that wasn't like super mystical. You didn't have to work something up. You didn't have to be just in the right vibe, you know. I could initiate it any time. And I saw how it particularly seemed connected to the last three holidays of this year, to the point that I kind of pressed back and I thought, wait, what? And I'm just going to have to believe that the Lord was in a divine orchestration when he stacked these three major holidays all right back to back. Because in my natural mind, it makes no sense. We could have spread them out over the year. But instead, we compact them all in the last, 60 days plus of the year. And we have Thanksgiving, and then followed by Christmas. And then right after Christmas, you know, we pull out our New Year's resolutions, and we're ready to start a brand new year. And that was always tough for me until I saw this spiritual pathway. And then everything clicked. And I want to show you how they all connect this morning, because I really believe that, like me, it's not been perfect. I'm still working my way through this. But I can see so clearly every year the pathway that the Lord is rolling out on a national level. And it helps me to see how this pathway is available for me on a daily level, on a weekly level, on a monthly level, on a seasonal level, on a circumstantial level. I can walk this pathway anytime. It's super crystal clear, and it's profoundly effective every single time. Not just sometimes, every single time. And I want to show that to you because I really believe it'll revolutionize your walk with the Lord and maybe your holiday season, like it's begun and it's working to revolutionize mine. So we're in Psalm 100 because that's where it all begins. And I know, again, some of you got, you know, a turkey hangover thing going on, but I'm going to ask you to do something we haven't done in quite a long time. Psalm 100, the complete psalm, is only 5 verses long. You can count them on one hand, 5 verses long. So we're going to read this together out loud and proud, and we're going to fill the room up with God's word as a church family. Can we do that this morning? Okay, for some of you that are not used to that, you're like, ah, it's kind of weird. I'm supposed to just sit and listen. You're supposed to do all the talking. I'll still be talking loud. You can whisper or just mouth it if you want to. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But the rest of us, let's make up the difference because we believe that God's word's true. We're going to be reading from the New International Version, I think. Nope, we're in the New King James Version. New King James Version, so we're going to read it together. It'll be on the screen behind me. Everybody, here we go. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. Now, before I show you this pathway that's just going to jump out like a neon sign, let me give you a quick overview of how this whole chapter kind of comes together, because it's really great for you to see that. So if you look at the first 3 verses, it instructs us to shout for joy to the Lord, and it helps us to understand how this whole life, this whole picture comes together. And here's the synopsis of it. You and I are not God. We're not the creators. We're not the boss. He is. He's the one who created us. We belong to him. Everything we have, everything we do, everything we are, including our physical body and the breath that goes in and out of our lungs, all of it belongs to God completely. And once you kind of set your context like that and you realize there's only one God and I'm not him, It helps me to set the grid for everything else. So the first one really calibrates, and here's what I want you to see. It's really about worship. I'm not talking about worship songs. It's not the singing part. It's not the feeling, you know, warm and fuzzy, spiritual, where you sway back and forth with the music. All that stuff's great, and those are like little, you know, experiential things, and that's great. But real worship means to be awe-inspired. It means to recognize that there's something bigger than you are, that there's something worth worshiping. In fact, worth-ship is where worship comes from. It's you're attributing worth to something. And as we begin to recognize and we begin to connect with the Creator, with our Heavenly Father, that fulfills the most intimate part of who we are down in the middle. Every one of us are created with a big space down here that only our Creator, only our God, only our Heavenly Father can fulfill that. You can try to fulfill it with a bunch of other stuff, with money and accomplishment and sports and great relationships, and you can just keep adding the list infinitum, but the more you accumulate, the more empty you're going to feel, because only God can fulfill that. In fact, that whole philosophical question, why am I here? That's like the biggest one that man's never been able to answer apart from God. We're here because we're part of God's kids. We're here because we're his creation, and we are here to live out and experience his story unfolding for our life and then for the earth collectively. We're part of this giant story. When you begin to recognize that and you begin to realize how incredible God is, how real God is, how loving and committed he is, as Pastor Brandon was saying, he's your father. When you begin to see that from a child's eyes, you're like many children are. You're awe-inspired about your dad. He's your hero. He's so strong. He's so rich. He's so big. He can do anything. And you see him like that. That's the essence of worship. And that's verses 1 through 3. It reminds us who he is. Well, verse 4 then is about thanksgiving and praise. And those I want you to see as obvious stepping stones. That they're systematically stacked. It says for us to thank the Lord, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So picture swinging the creaky gate and you're putting your feet on the stepping stones. You're moving towards connection, towards communication, towards a relationship with God. And the first thing you do is with thanksgiving. But I want you to recognize this. Thanksgiving is not just what we do in response. Thanksgiving is what we do to cultivate something. Now hold on to that because that's a different way. Some people say, well, Pastor, I am thankful, but I'm waiting for God to do what I'm asking him to do so I can be thankful. And you're missing a whole big, maybe the biggest part of the equation. Thankfulness here and praise right behind it is how we open the door up. And look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 is the unchangeable why we should thank the Lord, why we should praise the Lord. Even when we're waiting for him to do something, we don't let thanksgiving and praise be just our response. But we go ahead and praise him in advance. You say, well, that doesn't even make sense. How could I do that? It makes perfect sense because verse 5 says that the Lord is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues to all generations. So even though I'm asking and I'm waiting for God to do something for me now, I can certainly turn around and look at what he's already done. I can look at the things that he's already given me, and even if those seem a little sparse, they've gotten foggy in the pressure and in the stress of the moment, I can still look and realize, yeah, but I know who he is. Let me tell you something about my Heavenly Father. He'll never, ever go back on his promise. He'll never walk away and leave me hanging. He'll stick with me in every situation. He promised to never leave me, never forsake me. He listens when I call. He comes running to me. These are all characteristics of God. And I can always be thankful. Maybe I don't have what I want right now, but I'm thankful because I know my Heavenly Father's listening. I know he's watching. I know he's right here with me, and he'll walk me out of this hard situation and right back into the sunshine again. See, that's where thanksgiving kicks something in. So I want you to hold on to that, okay? It might be a new concept for some of you, but watch this. Now, let me come back one more time, and I'm going to narrow it. We just want to see the pathway to verses 4 and 5. In verse 4 again, it says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, I want you to see how it connects to these holidays and how God is divinely set up so that our nation can recalibrate itself to begin a brand new year in focus and in the grace and the strength of the Lord. It says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Think about the holiday of Thanksgiving. It's disappearing, by the way, in case you haven't noticed that. We almost go straight from Halloween, which I'm not even sure how most of us feel about that, and we jump straight to Christmas all over the shelves and all over the marketplace. Many of us as Christians, I'm not saying that we don't have Thanksgiving active in our life all the time, but we have to be really careful because as a nation, Thanksgiving, the holiday, is disappearing. But what Thanksgiving was supposed to be for is that if you don't do it any other time, at least one day a year, you stop everything. You intentionally don't focus on what you don't have. You don't focus on what you're still wanting to happen. You don't focus on all the bad. Instead, you gather with family and friends if possible, and you focus on what God's already done. You focus on what you do have. You focus on maybe what God is in the process of doing. You focus on the relationships he's given you. But it's all about recalibrating to thanksgiving. And this is what the Bible says, the first step. When you recognize that he's God and we're the sheep of his pasture, he leads us, we don't lead him. The first step in that is to enter with thanksgiving and focus back on what he's already done, what he's already given, and what he's promised that he would do. The next thing it says in verse 4, it says, come into his courts with praise. And I can easily connect praise to Christmas, because Christmas is a declaration of what God did. It's a declaration not just of Christ's birth, although that's what we predominantly focus on in America, if we're focusing on that at all. It's really about the fact that he was born and he lived, and this is what he gave to us. Maybe it works different in your family, but when we have a family birthday, we don't pull out, you know, all the albums and just look at the baby pictures and just celebrate the pink little bundle of joy. That was the starting place. But we actually have the live person standing in front of us. We're singing, looking them in the eyes. We're giving them hugs and high fives and knuckle bumps. And we're celebrating all that they've meant all through the years that they've been here on earth and the gift that they bring to our life. And then we're turning around and we're blessing and we're praying that God would continue to bless and that this next year would be another layer of God's plan. We need to do the same thing for Jesus. Christmas is a realization that he was born, but we don't stop just with a little baby in a manger. We recognize that baby grew up. And because of that, that baby became the greatest gift that God's ever given to man. Because he did grow up and he lived and died and rose again, you and I are in a whole different ballgame in life. That's what Christmas is about. It declares the redemption of Jesus. It declares that he brought salvation to the earth and that his gift is now complete and we have all of this abundance to the Lord. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas praise is about. And so we focus our attention on that. We begin looking to the Lord and looking to his celebration, to what he's brought to our life. And then the last verse says we do that because the Lord is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues to all generation. Listen, if you'll start with thanksgiving and you'll begin to realize what God's already done and how faithful he's been, and you remind yourself and he's not about to stop now, and you begin to look and say, in fact, he's already provided Jesus for me, and because of that, I'm an heir of salvation. All God's grace is available to me, and you begin to declare the praise and the goodness of God. Listen to me, it'll position you to recognize that God's good and his goodness is not going to stop. In fact, it endures forever. In fact, generations after you're gone, should the Lord tarry, other generations will keep on testifying to God's faithfulness never stops. He never stops. He never stops. There used to be a song that was sung, he didn't bring me this far to leave me. And I can't tell you how many times that's come up in my prayer time in some dark hours. Say, Lord, I can't see where the light at the end of the tunnel might even come from, but here's what I know for sure. You didn't bring me all this way just to walk away and let me fall. You just didn't do it. You're a heavenly Father. You're going to walk me all the way through this, and the sun will shine again, and I'm going to see the next chapter, the next layer of your goodness, because I'm still on the earth. I'm still moving forward. This is the plan, and listen to me. Nothing says new year. Nothing says new beginning. Nothing says a refreshed measure of grace like recognizing that God keeps on going. He's still going. He's still going. The plan's still going, and you're still part of his plan. When I begin to see that these three holidays set me up on a big level, that if I would start calibrating myself with deep thanksgiving at Thanksgiving time, if I'd start reminding myself how good God's been all this year, what has he been doing, what has he been saying in my life, and I would face Christmas not with all the pressures of the stuff and the schedules and the presents and the finances, but if I would face Christmas reminding myself that God's more than enough, that he's more than enough, that Jesus gave the greatest gift, and the Bible says if God's already given us Jesus, how will he not freely with him give me of all things? God's generous. If I begin looking at that, the materialism fades to the background, and the precious gift I have in Christ begins to come to the forefront. And as I begin to look at that and celebrate all the way through Christmas, everything reminds me of who Jesus is and what a difference he's made in my life. And something happens as the Christmas decorations are being put away and I'm looking at the new year. There's a new grace, a new faith, a new strength that rises in my heart. And I'm ready for a new year, man. I've been listening to the Lord and he's been whispering to me what this next year is about. Now, that's this holiday thing. But I want you to understand, just like if you were to say, Pastor, can you show me where your office is? Oh, yeah, come follow me. You just walk down this hallway right here. Yep, just keep walking down the hallway. And as soon as you get to this point, then you're just going to make a left and see that door right there? That's my office. You'd never ask again. You'd know it from now on. This is the pathway that the scripture gives you into joy, into faith, into fulfillment. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can find your feet and you can put them on the pathway to thanksgiving. And you can begin to say, Lord, I'm in a real pressure cooker right now. It is not fun. I don't want to be in this. But let me just stop real quick and begin to thank you for what you've already done. Let me thank you for who you are to me. Let me thank you for all the things you promised me and remind myself this is not the first time I've been here. But you've delivered me over and over and over again. Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful because I have everything that I need. I'm healthy. I still got a good mind. I'm still got, you know, the strength and the hope and the courage to move forward. You begin thanking the Lord, and thanks falls into praise. And you begin to declare who he is and what a great God he is and what a faithful servant he is. And I'm telling you, it walks you right into the grace of God, and all that you need begins to rise up. You can do this any time you want. In fact, we're going to see some things in scriptures how it directly relates and directly connects to God. Let me give you this little measurement equation that I discovered about the same time I discovered this, and I use it on myself all the time. If you ever get to the point where you notice that your attitude shifted on the inside and you're not thankful. In fact, you're frustrated, you're irritated, you're discouraged, you're depressed, you're afraid, and you can just put all the other things in the negative category. All that stuff's filling your heart. And somebody says, well, you know, you should trust the Lord, and you want to, but it's just not there. Then listen, you can recalibrate and say, well, I can fix that. And you can come right back and get on the pathway of thankfulness and walk right into God's presence, and everything inside just shifts. I'm telling you, I've done it. I've stepped out of meetings before. I've stepped out of seasons. I've stepped into prayer time and said, Lord, before I do anything else, I have a whole bunch of stuff I need to talk to you about. And it's squeezing me. It's weighty. It's pressurized. But before I do any of that, I need to spend a little time walking in the garden path here. I just want to remind myself I've been here before. I want to remind myself you've never let me down. I just want to begin to thank you for what I do have. I want to begin to thank you for who you are. I want to begin to thank you for what you've already done. And then that moves right into praise. Lord, I'm not only appreciative for what you've done, but Lord, you did it bigger than I thought you were going to do. I never thought I would get to this place. I never thought these things. I never thought that I'd have this kind of a, or this would develop. And I just begin praising and declaring who he is. It's not very long. All of a sudden, the windshield's clear. And I say, Lord, now I have some things I want to talk to you about. But I can talk to him about it in faith. I'm not whining. I'm not bawling. I'm not squalling. I'm not begging. I'm not bartering with him. If you do this, I promise I'll never do this for the rest of my life. And I'll always do this because those never work out. But I don't have to do that anymore, ever. But I do have to recognize before I get into the throne, which is what we talked about in, you know, what Hebrews 4 talks about, before I get into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace, it's very important that I walk down the pathway of thanksgiving and down the corridors of praise, because it calibrates my heart, calibrates my heart. Now, anybody can do that. Anybody can do it. You know, it doesn't matter how deeply spiritual you are. Anybody can do this, and it'll work just like the Bible says it will. Let me spend the rest of the few minutes we have, and I'm just going to give you four quick keys, four quick examples. It's not the only four. But it's four quick examples that putting your feet on thanksgiving and being very intentional to be thankful to the Lord is a key to unlocking God's grace in your life. Four scriptures. There's more than four, but I'm going to give you four quick ones this morning. Here's key number one, if you'd like to take notes. Thanksgiving is key in experiencing God's peace. Experiencing God's peace. Listen to Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, let me just stop and distinguish for some of you that don't know. There's a difference in the peace of God and peace with God. Those are two different things. Peace with God happens the moment you accept the Lord Jesus. All your sins are forgiven. You are literally in the spirit birthed into God's family, and you are now his child. You now have peace with God. You're his. There's nothing between you. There's no separation. You're part of his family. He calls you his own. You're one of him. That's not going to change. You have peace with God. Once you have peace with God, you now have the opportunity at any and every point to enjoy the peace of God. But the peace of God means you could be in the middle of a storm, but on the inside, you're calm and you're settled. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's crying. Everybody's yelling and screaming and fighting. And they look at you, hey, what's going on with you? No, I'm okay. Yeah, but don't you understand? Yeah, no, I understand. But I'm confident. No, God's going to help us. We'll get through this. We'll be okay. Ah, you're just in denial. Oh, no. I'm looking at it. I probably understand it better than you do because I'm not clouded by my emotional panic. But I'm confident we'll be okay. You can see a picture when Jesus was on the boat and the storm came up and the disciples were running around frantic because these were the kinds of storm that sink boats and drowns people. Some of them were fishermen. They knew that. But Jesus is on the bottom of the boat sleeping. Why? Is he ignoring the problem? Nope. Is he just not really aware of how dangerous this was? Nope. Jesus got up and said, what happened to your faith? God's going to get us to the other side because he sent us there. We have an assignment there. We're going to be okay. And for their sake, he calmed the storm because if it was up to Jesus, he'd just run back to sleep right in the middle of the storm. There's nothing quite like the peace of God. In fact, in Philippians, Paul describes it as a peace that passes understanding. You can't even wrap your logical head around it. There's no reason why you should be calm, cool, and collected. You should be freaking out, but you're not. Because you know the Lord's going to help. You know the Lord's faithful. And so thankfulness is a key to the peace of God. In fact, we'll just keep reading here in Colossians. We started at 15, but let's look at 16. This is how to experience then the peace of God. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, notice here it is again, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Another wonderful set of principles that have helped me, that continue to help me all the time, to gauge how I'm navigating tasks. So I've got something to do. So this says two things that we should do, everything we should do in the name of the Lord, and we should do it all giving thanks to God the Father through him. So anything that I need to do, my first filter, I'm looking at it and saying, is this pleasing to God? If Jesus were standing here with me, if he were going to go with me and partner with me today, would he be proud of the task that I'm doing and how I'm doing it? Is everything going to be represented to the kingdom? Because I'm at all points, not just because I'm a pastor. I'm at all points a representative of my Heavenly Father because I'm his family. I'm his son. Here's number two. Can I do this with thanksgiving? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I'm going to do it because I have to do it, but personally, I'm frustrated. Personally, I'm doing it because somebody else dropped the ball. Personally, I'm doing it because, you know, this should have never came to me, but I'm going to go ahead and do it for integrity's sake or kingdom's sake. But no, I'm not happy about it. And so before I launch into it, I know that I have a decision to make. Either I recalibrate my heart with gratitude so that I can do it and I can do it with thanksgiving, or I don't do it. Like ever, or I don't do it until I get gratitude. So there's lots of times. Someone will say, hey, listen, I'm going to need you to pick this up, or can you do this? And oftentimes I will say, absolutely. Sometimes I'll say, let me call you back in about 15 minutes. And in those 15 minutes, I will say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put my feet on thanksgiving. I'm not excited about this. I don't want to do this. But listen to me, I'll happily do this. Thank you for the privilege of stretching me. Thank you for the privilege of walking me through this. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that I know you've never left me. We've been through stuff like this before. I always come out on the other side better because I can never outgive you. I can never outsow you. And plus, you changed something in me. So I just begin to thank and praise the Lord that he's going to take me through this opportunity. And about 10, 15 minutes later, I'm great. And I'll call the person, okay, I'm in. And I can do it now as a representation, but I can do it with a great heart, not because I'm kicking and screaming, being drugged through it. See, that's really, really important to experience the peace of God, the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it with all the wrong heart, and you're all twipped up inside, and everybody else can feel that. You just ruin the vibe and the atmosphere, and you mess up the blessing for you. But it's easy for us to calibrate here. God's given us a pathway. We just walk down through it. That's number one. Here's number two. Thanksgiving's the key to the Spirit's refilling. Thanksgiving is the key to the Spirit's refilling. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled." That term "be filled" literally means keep on being filled. Be being filled. In other words, there's a refilling all the time that needs to happen. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's what's interesting. Both of these are in the imperative tense, which means they're commands. They're not suggestions. This is not, you know, kind of a code that if you live by it, it would be a little better. This is God says, no, this is how you need to live. Listen, nobody argues with the first one. Don't be drunk with wine. Not even unbelievers argue with that. Even party animals, if you can sober them up enough, who look forward to Friday getting blitzed out of their mind and not even coming back to consciousness till Sunday night or Monday morning, if you can get them sober enough, they'll say, yeah, we know that's not the healthiest way. We probably shouldn't do that anymore. But nevertheless, okay? But nobody's arguing with the first one. Don't get drunk. That's just a bad idea. But here's the second one. It says, but continually be filled with the Spirit. And I'm amazed at how many Christians marginalize that. How many Christians say, yeah, but you know, it doesn't really mean that. And oh, we got a lot of things going. And you know, no, it's exactly what it means. Listen, if we begin to understand how much spiritual energy you're drawing from every day to be able to stay focused and full of confidence and full of faith, and meet life's challenges head on, and keep a good attitude, and keep your eyes on the goal and eyes on the prize, and be sensitive to all those around you that you're trying to love. If you understood how much that's drawing from the deepest part of you in the Spirit, then you'd also understand why so many of you quickly get discouraged, quickly get frustrated, quickly get irritated, quickly get confused, because you're trying to live on a malnourished spirit, and you're trying to draw at an optimum level. You want to do everything just the way you're supposed to do it, but you're not feeding and taking care of yourself. That's just not smart. And so the Bible says, rather than numb yourself to all of the challenges with alcohol, because that's going to dissipate and you're going to be right back in the same boat, only it usually is worse when you wake up. It says instead, why don't you try to begin to learn how to keep yourself tapped, keep yourself filled up with the Holy Spirit. Why don't you try to do that? And notice as it's demonstrating how to do this, it says you do it with thanksgiving. You do it with thanksgiving. Thankfulness will put your feet on the path and begin walking you straight into the Holy Spirit, begin to fill you up over and over and over and over again. It's not the only component, but I'm telling you, it's the first intentional step to move you into that. So the Spirit's refilling is very important. Well, if it's really that important, then how do we do it? How do we do it? And verse 19 and 20 goes on and says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we do it by staying rooted in a church and connecting with other believers who are reminding, who are encouraging, who are testifying and keeping us right in the front. You know, God's good, God's faithful, God will do it. But then it goes on and says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So it's personal. It's a tune that I'm carrying too, so I'm not just drawing from others, but I have something to give back to them. It says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Listen, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always. Always. You should be the kind of person when somebody bumps into you, thankfulness comes out. The harder life squeeze, the more thankfulness comes out. Because your heart's filled up with this song. Your heart's filled up with gratitude for the Lord. Maybe not gratitude for the circumstance you're in, but gratitude for the fact that you're not in it by yourself and God's faithful and he's going to walk me through this because he always does. That's gratitude. But I'm going to tell you, that's not going to come just because you got saved one day. Gratitude is something that you're going to have to cultivate in your life. You're going to have to intentionally be able to walk down that path. And in moments that you do not feel thankful, you're going to have to begin to offer thanksgiving. It'll walk you back in it. It's just as powerful as the Bible says it is. Let me give you number three. Number three, thankfulness is the key to living in God's will. Now, this is a really important one. because there's so many people that are pursuing God's will. In fact, again, one of the big philosophical questions is, why am I here? Why am I here? What's my role? And so part of you understanding that is beginning to put yourself in a position where your heart of gratitude will soften you and will allow the voice of God, the direction of the Holy Spirit, to be able to get through and help move you into God's will. I can draw some of these quickly from 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. They're some of the shortest, but the most power-packed verses. So much so that we can often just kind of, you know, write them off as, you know, Christian rhetoric, or as just this big broad banner that we really don't actually do. We just know that's important. But listen to some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. That really means there's never a time that you're not joyful. Now, so we can read that. It's just three little words. Easy to read, easy to say, but how many of you would agree we need all of God's grace to do that? To always be joyful. Okay, so who? Finally got that one. Let's go to the next verse. Never stop praying. I remember reading as a kid thinking, that doesn't even make sense. How can I sleep? I mean, how do you swim underwater? I mean, I was a kid, so I'm trying to ask these questions, right? But now I understand completely. No, it's not saying that you're always speaking verbal prayers. It means that you never lose intimate contact with God. You always got a conversation. Something that I read in a book by Smith Wigglesworth really set me free in this area. He said, I never pray over 30 minutes. But I never let 30 minutes go by that I'm not praying. Boy, it just opened my eyes, and I thought, okay, now that's the conversation that's ongoing all the time. Fridays are the day that I try to take away from all the office, and Debbie and I spend that day together most of the time, probably 90% of the time. And we're not, you know, in the car talking constantly, talk, but we are in constant communication all day long. Even when we're just riding there and both of us are thinking about something, we're always in constant communication. And when we lose that communication, for some reason, we both know it. It has nothing to do with the talking part. It has everything to do with the connection and what we're communicating to each other. And this is exactly what it's saying. So we got verse 16 down, always be joyful. Verse 17, never stop praying. Here's verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say for all circumstances, because there's a lot of circumstances that I'm just not thankful for. I'm not. And I'm pretty honest with the Lord about that. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I tried to plan to not have to do it, but here I am anyway. And so before I go one step farther, I cannot do this and be thankful. So I'm going to take a walk in the garden real quick. And I'm going to start Thanksgiving, and I'm going to move into some praise, because I got to get all this stuff cleared away from my heart, and I got to remind myself that you never for one minute take your eyes off me. Even if this is not going to be what I think is fun, you can make it fun because I'm with you. We'll have a great time, and we'll learn something, and we'll get something out of this. And see, I calibrate myself because he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And why? Because this is the will, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to know how to get into God's will, I have people come all the time. I just want to know what the Lord's will is. Really? Okay, I can tell you. Here. Start with thanksgiving, then move on to praise, and then begin to open yourself up. Holy Spirit, just talk to me and tell me what you want to do. He'll talk to you. It's really not as hard as we make it. We don't really have to read volumes of books and take, you know, giant courses in academia and stuff. We don't really have to do that. We can just open ourselves up to the Lord because he's our shepherd. He leads us. He will. He's a good father. But we have to give him the opportunity to do that. Here's the last one. Last one. Number four. Thanksgiving is a key. I'm not saying the key. There's a number of keys. But it's a key to answered prayer. A key to answered prayer. It's a really important key to answered prayer. Philippians 4:6 says this, and we're ending right here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, there's that important connection again. Not for every situation, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, notice this important inclusion, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We believe with all of our heart here at the church, it's a conviction of ours that prayer changes things. In fact, I could make a really good case that prayer changes everything. Jesus said, all things are possible, if you can believe. But there's a number of things to it. But here's one of the things that I've learned over and over, that God commands that every prayer must include thanksgiving. In fact, if you really study, many of these prayers must begin with thanksgiving. And you know, and I remember earlier in my life asking the Lord, I said, I don't mean to be offensive, but I just have to be really honest with you. Why? Why do you demand thank yous to come first? And again, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but are you kind of emotionally insecure about that? Or, I mean, is it just kind of an ego thing? Or are you just a real hypersensitive to the protocols? Nope, it's got to be this first, and then this first, and then this first. And I've come to understand and believe, nope, thousand times nope, it's not about any of that stuff. It's because thanksgiving declutters our heart. Thanksgiving pushes aside all the panic. Thanksgiving pushes aside all the intense, the stressor, the press, when we begin to stop and realize, you know what? We've been through this kind of stuff before, and he's never, ever let us fail. Here we are. We're still chucking along. Circumstances, life, disappointments, the enemy tried to knock us down and cause us to wave the white flag and give up, and yet here we are. We're back in the game, and we're moving forward again, and you just begin to thank the Lord because the Bible's true. It says he's so faithful. He's so faithful. He's not always on my timetable, but I always end up realizing his timetable's way better, because when I get there, I'm a better person. I have a more readiness for the blessing he's about to give me, and I would have probably messed it up if he'd have given it to me before, but he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's so generous. He's more anxious to be generous with us as kids in every area than we are. You think you get excited about giving your little Johnny and your little Susie the perfect gift at Christmas time? You have no idea how excited your Heavenly Father is to give you his good gifts. He's been looking forward to this for a lifetime. But we have to calibrate our heart, and we have to be thankful. Now listen, we know this. Again, as kids, we remember our parents used to teach us this. As parents, we teach our kids now. Someone hands them something, and we say, what do you say, little Johnny? We don't say that because Johnny is so gushing with thanksgiving. He's not thinking about thanksgiving at all. He's thinking about how excited he is about what he's holding in his hand. But we try to get that in them to help them to understand, before you just dive headlong, you stop and you calibrate your heart to appreciate, to recognize, to validate what's been given to you and what a blessing it is. That's exactly what thanksgiving does to you and I. It helps us to stop in the busyness of trying to get more stuff and keep everything moving and move to the next level. It forces us to stop and calibrate our heart to really appreciate and value what we already have and what the Lord's already done and what he's planning on, what he's in the process of doing for us. And when we get our heart calibrated, then God says, okay, now you're in a place where I can give you some more. Now you're in a place where I can keep walking with you. This is so important. I've rewritten Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5 for me personally. And I pull it out during the holidays, and I have it written, you know, in the words inscribed in one of my Bibles, and I'll pull them out, and I'll read them when I feel like you kind of need to get that edge back off. And this is how I read it. Listen to me, if you don't mind. It says, enter the holiday season with thanksgiving and come into Christmas with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness will carry you right into a new year. This is my own personal version of this, because it works. And it doesn't just work for me at the holiday time. It works for me every day. It works for me in little pinch times throughout the day. I have to say, excuse me for a second, just give me a couple minutes, and I'll step into a bathroom, or I'll step outside of an office, or I'll take a walk somewhere, and I begin calibrating thanksgiving in my heart, and God just washes all the stuff away, and all of a sudden I can see and I can hear from the Lord again. You have the opportunity to do this. Have the best holiday you've ever had, to watch God do something incredible in your life. I don't know how finances and everything will work. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you the joy and the fulfillment and the family connectedness with your spouse and your kids will never be the same when you begin to understand and walk down this pathway. I hope that you'll begin with us this Christmas because we want this to be a great year. You've been blessed by God's word this morning? Stand to your feet and let me pray for you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.